I am your co-host, James Parker. How you doing? Happy Wednesday. Thanks for finding us on the stream or the podcast. Not sure which one you're listening to, but we've got a full hour of financial goodness on the way. Some stuff that's going to affect your wallet, but also have some stuff that's going to make you feel a little bit better about yourself, financially speaking. If you have a financial situation not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. 504-260-0995, 504-260-0995. You can also find us on the Winning It Life app. Send us a text message that way or spider her out to our Facebook Live or our Periscope feed. They got them both going on today, so come see what we look like as well. That is a big piece of ice, isn't it? Gregory, I had forgotten all about a great financial story, and we had talked about this, it may be 6 years ago, on Winning It Life. I had forgotten. I just read this. I was going through one of these little, the biggest money mistakes of famous billionaires. And the first one on the list caught me, and so I had to finish reading the article. In 1997, Apple was at a low point. And you remember what the world was like in 97 tech world. It was all about two guys, Microsoft and AOL. And the big concern was that these two guys had monopolies and no one was ever going to be able to knock them off. And they had unfair business practices and unfair advantage and they didn't allow enough competition. So one of the things Bill Gates did to assuage the concerns of the FCC and the powers that be in the Department of Commerce, he threw a little, what are those little donuts that they have off the Titanic, those little life rings? He threw them a floaty, $150 million, probably staved off their entire demise. They had gotten rid of Steve Jobs, and they had made some mistakes. And lo and behold, Steve Jobs comes back and takes that money and turns Apple back around, and now Apple absolutely dominates Microsoft and has become the most valued company of 2017. And Bill Gates said that probably cost him billions.
In 97, he threw him a life ring.
He threw Apple a life ring.
So go back to when did Microsoft and Apple start?
About the same time.
In what year?
76, 77.
You know, I remember hearing about them senior year high school. And you know, and I was just, when you were telling that, I was just thinking about that. And you know what my sense was when I go back to that time, when you hear about that, it's like a rumor. Because it's not like on the news and stuff. It's more like a rumor. You're hearing this and this is coming. And it's like a projection of something that's going to be in place 10 years from now. And you're like, really? Now, looking back at that rumor, I should have packed my bags and went and moved into their garage and said, what can I do to help? I have a mechanical mindset. You know, a couple years ago, one of the toughest, you know, one of those viruses got into one of my computers at the firm, and it was one of those self-replicating things a few years back, and nobody could ever beat it. And of course, after I did beat it, I didn't put it online how to fix it or anything. Why? Because they'll just, oh, thanks for the help. Let's block that fix from happening. But man, that was like an awesome moment when I shut that virus down on a computer. And it took me about a day to do so, to figure out how it would keep replicating. And then it took a sequence of events that had to happen really fast as the workaround, and then boom, it was gone. Fun moment. But, you know, it isn't like Bill was the genius that did everything, nor Steve Jobs. But what were they good at? Vision, ideas.
Big picture guys.
And hiring the engineers to make it happen. But and then you think about that, it's like Coca-Cola had a chance a long time ago to buy Pepsi. And what did they regret not doing. It's like, yeah, it's going to go away. You know, no, we're not interested. And what did it cause them to do 20 years or so ago?
30 years, the new Coke.
Yeah, caused them to blink, and they did something disastrous and made new Coke, and they quit making Coke. And that didn't last long. But it's also, so this story kind of relates in that way, is why didn't Microsoft just buy Apple? Because when Steve moved on to Next and what's the movie company?
Pixar, wasn't that him?
Pixar. Yeah. Once he moved on, he wouldn't have been going back to Apple because there wouldn't have been an Apple anymore.
He probably wanted to do that, but couldn't do it for the same reason he gave him $150 million. This wasn't about something that's smart or big picture or tech forward or business related.
So it wasn't about the big picture, buying them out, getting rid of a rival. It was about surviving.
It was about assuaging the monopolistic concerns of some busybodies in D.C. Or he would have destroyed them when he had the chance.
Attorneys with never-ending pocket supply of money.
Yeah.
Okay. I get that.
So you want to keep you have to keep some sort of rival around.
Oh, then it's a monopoly.
Yes, that's the whole reason he threw him $150 million. Or he probably would have bought him out. He probably would have said, "Oh, good, I finally get to buy this company and close it." But we see a lot of those.
That's why there's got to be some phone rivals around.
Oh yeah,
media company rivals around. Yes. They all can't keep joining each other. And ultimately, when we have CVS buying Aetna, because you think about it, well, then who's Walgreens going to buy?
Mm-hmm.
And then who's Amazon going to swallow up? Because where you had this, all this, and think about this, you have all the brick and mortar. They should have been in the web. Now you have all these web-created companies. Like, what brick and mortar do we pick up?
Yeah, right.
Look, thinking forward, and we've talked about this all before, is like Radio Shack should have been the gadget company online. Sears, if they had never canceled their catalog several decades back, what would they be now?
Amazon.
Online. Okay.
They would be Amazon.
Yeah. And thinking of brick and mortar is you don't need several big Best Buys in town. What do you need? One. And you need online dominance. And hey, we can get your TV to you tomorrow, or you can stop by the store and pick it up. It's there ready. Or do you have Amazon come in and buy Best Buy? Say, we can ship it to you, or it's right there in your city, and they just have one location in major areas, and the worst case, 2 days at TVs to you. Plus the DVR and the phone and whatever else you're wanting. Cables, the whole deal, right there. Or you order it, and so you're like wanting it now. You don't want delivery tomorrow. Okay, it's ready for you in 2 hours. Go by and get it. That's where the shifts are coming, and you're going to see that with the Macy's, the Dillard's, where online and brick and mortar merge, and you're not having New Orleans area. Back in the day, they had this McKenzie's. And they serve cookies, cakes, and they're kind of known for their cakes and pies. And they had a store like every few blocks. And things were changing, and some of it, yeah, they weren't running a good business model now. But would you have a store? For example, I'll name some communities in the New Orleans area. Okay, Gretna, Harvey, Marrero, Avondale, Algiers. Those are communities on the West Bank of New Orleans. So would you need several McKenzie's in every one of those communities now?
Several?
No.
Sounds saturated.
You might only need one on the West Bank, and do your line on order and go pick it up. Or we could provide Uber to bring it to you. You know, Uber
Eats.
We, Yeah.
Uber Eats.
They could deliver that cake to your house. Then you might have one in New Orleans, one Metairie, one on the North Shore. And but you have a big online presence. What that's what the world is moving to. And you might have some locations where you don't go pick it up, as it's we're making it and it will be sent to you by Uber or Lyft. Think about it. I'm already seeing restaurants that provide food, but they don't have a dining facility. They just use Uber Eats.
It's all a takeout business, like Hot Walk.
Yeah. Really, that's kind of surprising, but I've been reading about restaurants here in South Louisiana, New Orleans area, that are doing, they're busy. They're as busy. They said we wouldn't have time for people coming in and dining. We're that busy.
Who's going to buy up Tesla? To backtrack just a little bit.
Ford is moving their electric car business to Mexico, was announced today.
Oh, I missed that.
I know. I'm jumping over Tesla, but would it surprise you if it was Ford one day that acquires them? Now, we've talked about Ford. It's like, gosh, this stock never goes anywhere. But they've got huge reserves. They're the company that when it all went bad in the Great Recession, they're the only company that didn't ask for government help. So you think they're short of money or having a tough time? It's one of the best companies ran in the world. They've had the number one selling truck for total existence of trucks. So I'd kind of be worried. They're moving in electric car business and they are counting the coins. That's why it's going to be built in Mexico.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, the phones are open, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
So I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
What better way to get into the holiday spirit than by watching those great Christmas TV specials? Join JPAS for an all-new stage production that pays tribute to great performers like Red Skelton, Dick Van Dyke, Judy Garland, and others. Don't miss Butch Cares' Holly Jolly, family-friendly vintage TV Christmas special with special guest star Becky Allen. Playing in West Wego December 1st through 10th. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
If you're not at your old job, your 401k shouldn't be either. I don't want it to become forgotten money. My guidance would be is if you're going to take and roll that over and you're going to correlate it to risk, I think you should work with somebody loss adverse, meaning that they would rather get you to cash than writing down losses.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
We were talking about funeral planning. Who's it going to follow? Probably your children or your best friend of life, your spouse. And they're just not going to be in an emotional state to do that. And what we help with is what's called a funeral trust. It is something where you can put some money aside there. And then this firm, they are guided through there to make sure everything's paid properly. You're not taken advantage of. The funeral trust can also be used in several different ways. You know, that trouble son. He's always needing a little bit more help than the others. This funeral trust could also have a little bit different purpose, to where maybe he gets a little bit more money on the side and nobody has to know.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Might have a little dirt on my boots, but I'm taking you uptown tonight. Might have a little mud on my wheels, but they gonna shine with you up inside. Gonna hit the club, gonna cut a rug, burn it up like neon lights. Might have a little dirt on my boots, but we're gonna dance the dust right off them tonight.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. The Daily Wrap. You know, you're listening to us because you already know this. If you just joined us, we do this every evening at 7 and Saturdays at 10. Saturdays are more like a marathon. We rock and roll on financial talk for 3 hours, where it's country rock and roll on 3 hours of live financial talk. I'm kind of that country rock version of a financial advisor there. Enjoy a little bit of that with our bourbon as well. You can reach us. Live Financial Talk Radio means we want your involvement, your questions. If you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, myself, Gregory Ricks, your host, along with James Parker, want to do our best to help you through that question and on to winning at life financially. The number to call is 504-260-0995. You know, when we started covering Bitcoin, nobody in mainstream, I think we were mainstream media, just unknown. Does that make sense?
It's such a pejorative. Let's not say that.
Okay. However, you know what stuff we talk about, next thing you know, is on the big media later. We've been covering Bitcoin for years on this show, and it's like, it's not just once in a while you hear about it. It's every day. I'm handed articles and such. I flip on the talking heads on financial shows. They're talking about it. And now, how old is Greenspan? Like 90?
Yeah.
Thereabouts. You know, he was a former Federal Reserve chairman.
Married to Andrea Mitchell of NBC News.
He said, here's the question for him. Who's the first person that comes to mind when you think about Bitcoin? Well, Alan Greenspan, the former Federal Reserve chairman, said, it's George Washington. I'm telling you, this cracked me up.
He didn't even have an iPhone 6.
He's in the... George Washington didn't know what an iPhone was.
Are you still using landlines?
They would write it on a piece of paper, hand it to guy, tell him, get on that horse and go 20 miles and tell the other guy that... And then he does the same thing.
You know, that doesn't sound too bad because you didn't see it a second ago. When we turn on that big monitor, your smart TV needs a software update. It's like, oh, what's with all the updates? Everything's got to be updated now? Give me my quill pen.
What is that? Is that a rewrite of the note back in the day of George Washington when we're sending it across counties, horse by horse, by rider?
You need some new wax for your little ring that you make the impression with on the seal.
He's co-writing a book on American history, which...
Better hurry.
He should know. He's lived through a lot of it, right?
Yeah.
He said,
different old jokes.
Bitcoin is just the latest version of currency used to finance the Revolutionary War. These notes were called Continentals and had no backing in gold or silver. First issued in 1775 to the tune of about a couple hundred million dollars. Really? a couple hundred million. I was thinking a couple hundred thousand. This is, you know, we don't have that many people. What's 13 colonies, just the east coast of the U.S. Okay, by 1782, Continentals were worthless, Greenspan said. Before it was worthless, George Washington was able to buy a lot of armaments and pay basically all sorts of troop costs. Greenspan is not surprised that cryptocurrencies are popular. Well, I'm sure the Roman Empire wasn't surprised by tulip mania as well, were they? And I might have my time periods wrong there. But Huming, here's the real thing. And he gets this right, I think, right here. Human beings buy all sorts of things that aren't worth anything, but they do it anyway.
Oh, so he met my wife.
But I think... Look, he cracked me up with his comments about Bitcoin, but the human bit nailed it. Yes. Humans, you can trust them to buy into it at some point.
Things they don't need. Because store, look, I like Pier 1. I like a lot of stuff they have in there. But one day I walked in, I was like, there is nothing in here I absolutely need. I was going through sort of like this financial cleansing, like a financial fast, where I don't spend one dime unless I absolutely need it just for the rest of the month because, you know, I'm already in the red. And I went into Pier 1. I was like, I really could live without everything in here, and so could every human being in the history of existence. But God, if I don't want about half of this stuff. So I recognize the inherent flaw. He's absolutely right, and I'm one of the guilty people.
I can relate to that as well because I've been in that store and have bought some. Oh, this is really unique. This would fit right in there in that corner. But, you know, being I haven't been in there for years, I don't have this. Oh, I miss it.
Right.
The mistake is going in there, and then you're human all of a sudden and needing it. And humans will just... All of a sudden, you know, the craze on Bitcoin mania is I'm missing out. I heard somebody on Lou Dobbs this evening. I think, no. What is it? Making money.
Charles Payne.
Fella was on there and he says, yeah, I'm buying into Bitcoin. But when it comes out here that I can do options on it, I'm going to leverage it. And he was naming all the kind of different ways he was going to make a play on it. But he says, yeah, I'm going to go long into it as well and then hedge it with some options. So going long into it means he's going to buy him some Bitcoins and then protect himself with some options that if this decision goes bad.
Angie? Excuse me.
Oops. Well, pushed the wrong button.
They just like to advertise sometimes.
Yeah. So that was kind of surprising as well. So, it's even going to these guys that a year ago, I wouldn't touch it. Now it's, I want to get in on this last run up before it implodes.
What's some of the dumber things you've ever bought? Let's talk about financial mistakes of Gregory Rick. Well, I don't want to say dumber things, but unnecessary things. Do you need an ice cube tray that makes exceptionally large ice cubes?
Nope, but we sure like it.
Yeah, I got one too, and they're great. They're great. All right, here's another one, though. You know Richard Branson. His billionaire mistake, something he spent a lot of money on that he thought this would be a great idea, and this is a wide open market, and I got my little niche. It's on the next page if you're looking for it. He had Virgin Cola fell flat on its face.
I remember that. Do you?
For a month. How long was that thing out?
Oh, it was out longer than that. He was really making an effort, talked about the percentage of the marketplace, and if he would just get this small percentage, he would do this much in revenue. Except I don't think that happened.
Did no one ever follow up with that? I remember it coming out, but I don't remember what happened to it. You go back and you do a little forensic economic research.
Never. Did you ever taste it?
No.
You weren't aware of it of the actual time?
I don't think I only saw it on the news. I didn't even see it in a store.
I would like to have at least tasted it, but then again, I've not drank a cola in several years now. So, but go ahead with the story.
So how much more, market share was he saying he needed? If I just have like 4%, we're talking tens of billions. And
yeah, he was looking for just 0.5% market share.
No, that's all he got was 0.5%.
Well, he wasn't looking for a whole lot, but it was a small percentage.
Yeah, the margins on those sodas are incredible. You know what Coke's margin is? I think it's 22%. Something amazing like that.
That small?
Is it more than that?
Oh, it's got to be more than that.
Is it 50?
It's just a little. It's some chemicals thrown into water with some color and some fizz.
Yeah, whatever that phosphoric acid is, it's delicious. So, look, it luckily just kind of disappeared into the ether because what a horrible failure.
What was where was the name derived from and what was the original formula based upon? And what was actually in the original Coke?
Oh, I know. There was cocaine in the first Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And it was marketed just like we market Red Bull and Monster. It was an energy drink at the time. Yeah. Dr. Pepper tried to follow suit. They threw a doctor in there because it's sort of a health tonic. This is good for energy. And you drink it at 10, 2, and 4.
And who sold it back in the day?
Probably not a real doctor.
Pharmacies.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it
man.
Really had cocaine. And then at some point, they had to figure out how to make it without the actual cocaine in it. Still retain the Coke
bunch of
name. But yeah, it wasn't too healthy a drink as it turned out.
It's real popular with the musicians, I bet.
No wonder they keep that formula in a vault over in Atlanta.
It's amazing that they used to sell cocaine in your Cokes. In the pharmacies up until I think the 50s or 60s, they used to sell codeine over the counter. And now we have the opioid problems. Oh, now we do? Y'all have had morphine and opium forever. Now it's a problem? Y'all should make it illegal. See if that works. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory. We're going to do some numbers next. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
If I start adding new cards and dropping old cards, then I'm going to mess up my credit. What do you think?
If you cancel any credit cards that you currently have, you will lose. Let's say you had one for 10 years, 15 years. The second you cancel that card, you are going to lose all that history. We'll destroy your credit.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Tracy from Dwell Nola Realty.
It's good to learn the mistakes you can make because a lot of people start off investing and they fail at their first investment and then they get discouraged and then they don't want to continue. And it doesn't have to be that way.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, GregoryRicks.com or 504-832-9200.
The National Council on Aging is the nation's leader of helping people 60 years and older meet the challenges of aging. They partner with nonprofit organizations, government, and businesses to provide services such as utility bill assistance, wellness and nutrition options, and many other everyday tasks that get more difficult with age. For more information on the National Council on Aging, call or visit your local branch. The Jefferson Council on Aging, 6620 Riverside Drive, Suite 216, Metairie, Louisiana, 504-888-5880.
Thanks for listening. listening to Winning at Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email james@gregoryricks.com.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Back. This is Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. We do this every day at 7, Saturdays at 10. That's the marathon session. If you'd like to join, give us a call, 504-260-0995. If you'd like to utilize the Winning at Life app, there's a real easy process. Go to your app store, do a search for Winning at Life. If by chance that doesn't pull it up, just type in Gregory Ricks. It'll pull up. In that case, we've got a few transitions going on where we've repositioned the app. But it is your connection to the show as well as my firm. But you can text the show, email the show, call the show, listen to the podcast of the show. It helps you do all those things to stay connected with Winning at Life globally. It's a global app, I believe. We're in a global world, right? It's a globe.
You can't make that assumption because, you know, Red China may think our financial information is too much power.
But we've not been informed that China's blocked us, Russia's not blocked us, and Russia's not asked to join in with us either. You know how they've joined in Washington, but they've not joined in with us now. So we don't know of any country blocking our app at this time.
So as far as we know, we're still good to go in North Korea, right?
Hey, Rocket Man might be listening too. Dude, shut it down if you are. Just dial it back a little bit. Start making widgets. Money is the power, not rockets. We'll help him out if he's listening as well. But if you want to call, 504-260-0995. I want to throw in a couple numbers for you here. I know James got a number of clips, but just how much money parents lose supporting their adult children. Are your parents still supporting you?
I wish.
Those days are way gone, huh?
Jealous of
four
these
kids. Four kids in, like, James, we're done helping you. Some 80% of parents are covering or have covered basic expenses for their children after they turn 18, which could cost parents $227,000 in lost savings over the course of retirement. I have this discussion occasionally, and I kind of give them a warning, but you got to be careful because it's their kids. That's that tough decision, is when do you cut them off? But at some point, you keep helping them till you run out of money. Are they going to be capable of reciprocating in that kind? Or you keep giving them money when, and if you're needing, are they going to give back, or are they going to be always dependent upon those gifts to get by? As parents, we tend to want to do everything we can to help our children succeed, but sometimes we focus on the present at the expense of the future. And maybe they need that tough love to figure it out financially. Hey, could have carried you all away, James, and you'd still maybe be dependent. I'm just throwing that out there. That's not the type of guy that you are. But most adult children live with their parents for more than a year after they turn age 18. 3 in 5 parents have a child 18 or older living with them. Sometimes if they have a real techie kid, he's age 40, still living in the basement. I heard that the other day in some survey.
We don't have basements.
No, but up north they do. This comes in part due to rising housing costs and down payments, which keep more young adults from living on their own. What's our lady we like in the evenings on Fox? She's that libertarian.
Oh, Kennedy.
Oh, she made some comment the other evening about the people living in the parents' basement at age 40. That's where I got that from. She was kind of, and it was hilarious. She cracks me up most of the time. This comes in part, once again, due to rising housing costs and down payments, which keep more adults from living on their own. This inevitably damages many parents' ability to both save for the short and the long term. Student debt, which has surpassed $1.4 billion, also plays a role in increasing reliance of young people on parents. Some 28% of parents have paid for part or all of their children's tuition or loans. The average parent now takes out a $21,000 in loans for college education. That's the real story there, is where college costs, because I look at when I went to college, I carried my own load. I didn't come from money. Parents didn't have money. I joined the Army. One of the reasons why? College tuition assistance, Mississippi Army National Guard. I did 6 years of time with them. And I don't have any negative impact from that. It was a great learning experience, but it also provided tuition assistance and monthly income. I remember a discussion with one of my friends. It's like, how are you paying for what you're doing while you're going to school? And it was Gary. And I said, Gary, they take care of my tuition. They reimburse me for, I have to front it. They reimburse me and they give me so much a month, and I'm a part of the ROTC program and they pay me every month to go to school too. Cause he's working more part-time jobs than I am. I'm kind of doing what I want when I want. And so I tell him the story, and guess who's off going to basic training that next summer? Gary. Crack me up. But to think about what the costs are now, I could have never pulled it off in that way. Would have needed parents' help. Or I would be, and when I finished with school, I didn't have any debt. But look at the people that have debt now. Did you have debt when you finished college?
I had minimal debt.
But but that's a yes.
Yes, sure.
That's a yes or no question.
Oh, right. No, I had a good little run though. I had some scholarship help. I had a lot of help from my parents as well. But what's coming to mind is when I first went to college, there was a professor in one of the classes, and he was telling me his story, or telling the whole class's story. 35 years ago, when I went to college, I didn't have a dime to my name. I got in based on my grades. There was no scholarships. There was no Pell Grants. There was no FAFSA form. There was no financial aid. And what I did is I worked two jobs all summer. I got up and I worked, and I mowed lawns for some landscaping company all day, and then I worked in the kitchen at a restaurant all night. And I lived in an efficiency apartment in some guy's attic that didn't even have air conditioning.
Oh, not the basement, the attic.
Yeah, well, the point of his story is, you know, if you did that today, and he was saying this in the mid-90s, if you did that today, I don't think you could make enough money all summer to pay for your tuition and living expenses for two semesters.
Yeah, I did lawn mowing, gardening, side jobs to bring in extra money for that. And it didn't take a lot of time or stress. And just thinking, yeah, I don't see how that would be pulled off today in that case.
Well, look, that this was in the context of 1996. That was 20 years ago. Today, it's impossible.
Well, let me ask you,
can only
this.
Do that for a community college. If you're going to LSU or Mississippi State, you can't cover your own tuition.
Did your parents do the FAFSA and stuff for you?
Yeah, I did the FAFSA.
I remember hearing about that, and I said, oh, okay. And I took that to my mom, and you know what she said? I am not filling any of that out.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, no choices there. Back to what I was normally doing,
which
in retrospect was, if it was going
to
create any debt back then, which I doubt it, but I don't know whether that was a plus or negative, but that was the feedback I got is, no, I'm not doing any of that paperwork.
You know, from that angle, it's hard to blame some of these guys that don't go out and after they do get out of college, they have six figures worth of debt and a house is $300,000 in the neighborhood that they want, or, you know, their expectation. They're going to take a big old lifestyle hit if they move out.
Yeah, really. What?
You remember,
it's crushing.
Do you remember going to your parents' house, going to mom's when you're like 24 and just opening the fridge and looking at it like, oh, look at all this food, all these. Mine's just a handful of condiments and some leftovers and four beers.
How did we survive?
Oh, we were ecstatic about it too, weren't we? 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. Gregory Ricks here. I'm a preferred access member. I get to take my own car to the track. Yeah, it might be a fast one, but it gets to go there. Talk about going to another world and escape. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
What better way to get into the holiday spirit than by watching those great Christmas TV specials? Join JPAS for an all-new stage production that pays tribute to great performers like Red Skelton, Dick Van Dyke, Judy Garland, and others. Don't miss Butch Cares Holly Jolly, family-friendly vintage TV Christmas special with special guest star Becky Allen. Playing in West Wego December 1st through 10th. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
One thing you definitely should do is accelerate your payments. It makes a big difference by just making an extra two payments a year, because that's one thing we're like to retire is that mortgage when they retire. Boom, you've added cushion.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks and Associates, 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
If I tie up all my money into an annuity now, I'm just not sure I feel comfortable with that.
I wouldn't be comfortable having you do that either. If you're using an indexed annuity, there is a time commitment for that money, so there is a surrender fee. But
right.
By no means should all your money go into that particular product. And then you've got to have income planning, emergency cash, and liquidity. And I hate it when I see somebody come in putting all
all their money into some variable annuities. There is no way I would allow that or do that. That's just exactly what you're referring to as tying up your money in all one financial tool. And we just would not do that or allow
Winning
it.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com. James?
Gregory.
This show looks good, but...
You know, it looks better on Facebook Live than Periscope. Have you noticed? I think that might be because the iPad has a better camera than...
I don't know. I was having a talk with one of my friends that is all in the tech and the streaming and all, and he just says Facebook is the bomb. But we actually draw more viewers from Periscope. Both of these are streaming concepts, so you could type in... How do they download Periscope?
Go to your app store, Periscope.
Periscope. Okay, that's it. Well,
it's owned by Twitter, so it's the first thing that'll pop up when you type
in
Periscope.
Yeah, and it's connected. If you don't have a Twitter login, then you're going to have one. Okay, Facebook Live. How do they download that?
They already have that.
Oh, yeah. So if you have Facebook, you're getting notified if you're a friend of the show or like it such when you go on. So it's easy. So you can get either format. And if you download the Winning at Life app, and if you can't find that in the search, it'll be correct in a few days. But in the meantime, you can do a search for Gregory Ricks, and it'll take you to the app, which will lead you to streaming connections as well, texting for calling the show, the email, and a whole lot more fun information. There's pictures on another tab of that. A lot of fun. But if you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, this is Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap with Gregory Ricks and James Parker. Here's the phone number if you want to just dial us straight up, 504-260-0995. Now, you have some sound bites from Alan Risher.
Jim Rickards.
Jim Rickards. Okay. Hey. Where'd I get the Alan from? Whatever. Jim it is.
Oh, yeah. He was on Varney, and he's an analyst for one of the big Wall Street firms, and they're a market research firm. So you know this guy is going to pull some stuff out that the rest of us don't know. And Varney, in his cute little accent here, is asking him, so you're expecting the economy to slow down some, huh?
The good times are over, you think?
We're getting close to that. Look, the economy's probably slowing in the fourth quarter anyway. A lot of demand was brought forward into the third quarter because of the hurricanes. That's over. The biggest blunder right now is the Fed is tightening in two ways. They're normalizing interest rates, raising them, and they're also normalizing the balance sheet by reducing the money supply. This has never been done before. We're all guinea pigs in an experiment. Sure. They're probably underestimating the impact of the reduction of the balance sheet. Ben Steele, Council for Relations, had a great article on this. They're over tightening.
They're over tightening is what he finished with there. Kind of hard to tell. I don't know.
Once again, it is an experiment. We all agree it's never been done before. But here, I'll just throw out here what's interesting and scary at the same time is we've got a rate hike coming and we have 10-year treasuries moving down in yield. What is that leading us to? I don't know, but it seems like we've had multiple rate hikes and we still have low yield on 10-year treasuries. Some point out that to be a scary thing. Yet we have the Fed is going to do a December rate increase, and we have unwinding the balance sheet, which some have said should lead us to 3% or more in 10-year treasuries next year. So, yeah, let's see how this experiment goes.
All right. So anything else you think, Jim Rickards, that'll slow down the economy? He has two more things.
One reason, there are two other reasons. China's slowing, obviously, second largest economy in the world. The bigger reason is we'll be at war with North Korea within the next 12 weeks. And that's definitely.
Now, wait a minute. That's quite a statement. We'll be at war with North Korea within 12 weeks.
Correct.
Well, that's a projection.
Well, no. Mike Pompeo, director of Central Intelligence Agency, told me that. He said at a meeting on October 20th that it would be imprudent to assume it would take North Korea more than 5 months to have a robust nuclear arsenal. That's March 20th, if I set my calendar. We won't wait until then. It'll be before then, so we have the element of surprise. This is here's the thing. McMaster has said this. Mattis has said it. Tillerson has said it. Pompeo has said it. The president has said it. Why no one's listening is a mystery to me, but they've made it very clear.
Everything's on the table, and Trump has said he's not going to let this play out. It's going to be ugly and fast when it happens. We're not going to like the numbers. It's going to affect the market. So from our standpoint, we'll be reacting quickly and protecting values, but it also is going to lead to steep discounting at some point.
And if this is a short war, those little downturns, they don't last very long.
It pops can't right be. Back. This is about who bumps the crap out of the other. This is not something, we got to send troops, we got to take the capital. Well, they do their damnedest to kill him immediately, and they kill and destroy all those artillery that are aimed at Seoul. It's a complete bombardment very quickly, and you wipe out most everything you can without going nuclear, and that should solve it.
You don't have to do much, though. If you want to wipe out their electric grid, you have this little compound
in Pyongyang. You just take out the capital and him and what remains, the few people left in his family that he hasn't killed, and what generals that kiss his butt daily, and his little entourage of women. You take all of them out, then you get back to the real, but you got to take out all the artillery at the DMZ because they're on instant go. That is the plan. They're all annihilated quickly, and you're going to miss some stuff, and it's going to get ugly.
Is this going to happen in the next 12 weeks? Next 12 weeks.
I think about this all the time. You know, one of the things I think about in the morning when I wake up, has something happened with them? That's always my worry, because what we're not getting is a heads up. You might could have the markets show some effect from our side. Those that have heads up start selling. There's nobody over there selling. Nope, he's not in the market. None of his people, none of his generals, they're not connected. So you're not having to say, this is on. Let's get the cash.
No one's taking their 401k cash.
You know, it'd be different if it was Iran. They're going to start leading on the selling that, it's on. We're going to sell everything, go to cash, buy gold. And you see gold going up while you see markets going down.
Well, that's like Varney's next question to Jim Rickards here. Do you just sell everything now? You think there's going to be a world war in 12 weeks? What do you do?
Okay, real fast, would you sell it all? I mean, look, some of us are sitting on some nice profits in the stock market. A lot of people are.
Yep.
Sell it, sell half of it. What would you do?
Oh, I recommend 10% gold and 30% cash. So if you don't have that allocation, I would sell that amount of stocks and reallocate.
Well, that's not a liquidation. That's not a fire sale. He sure is pretty casual about World War III. 30% cash and 10% gold. Is that what he said? That's. And then the last question. Are you invested? Varney asked Jim Rickards, are you invested in Bitcoin?
Is Jim Rickards an investor in Bitcoin? Because it hit 12,000 bucks a coin today.
Bitcoin's fascinating because it's a fraud.
Well, I asked, are you an investor in it?
I am not.
You're not.
And I don't recommend it for clients.
Speculative bubble.
A bubble, a fraud, and a Ponzi at the same time. Like,
whoa.
Madoff was two out of three. He was a
bubble,
fraud, Ponzi.
Fraud,
Tulip
Mania
was a bubble, but you got to keep the tulip, so it wasn't a fraud. Bitcoin's all three.
You got to keep the tulips. Look, you and I were each given a Bitcoin years ago.
Right, a little souvenir type.
Is it souvenir or was there some value there?
In that Bitcoin is $5 at the time worth of Bitcoin. It's probably worth about $60 now. I did the math.
60? I thought it was like, could it be, you're sure it's not 60,000? Because I'd gladly sell it and report it to the IRS, because you know they're going to come asking for their money. But if it's $60, I think I'll just keep the actual Bitcoin. How many people have an actual coin, really?
Oh,
to show for their future losses they're going to have.
It's a gift that's gotten cooler since we got it.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a quick version of the numbers.
The numbers.
Yeah, we're not too excited about the numbers today, so we'll just sort of slough it off into the last few minutes, because if we're not making a record, what's the point? I mean, we're so spoiled with
the
all these
records.
The
norm is records. If there's not a record, like, why are we here?
Yeah, wake me up when we get to 25,000, Wall Street. So it was down a little bit. Look, it had more than 100-point sell-off yesterday, and it was down 0.16% today. That number's huge, though. 24,140. S&P was down. Well, it was basically flat. It was down 0.3%. So that's 0.01% negative. Basically flat. 2,629. NASDAQ squeezed out a win today. 0.2% in the positive. 0.2% up. 67.76 to finish. Treasuries.
You had treasuries off slightly today. The final number is 2.346. We'll look at see what that does for us on 30-year mortgages that are fixed. 3.87. So we're like three ticks down from yesterday.
Nice.
So that'll help a little bit. Go buy that house. You can get a little bit more. Crude oil. Guess what it moved off of?
57.
We're not at 57 and change anymore. $56.18. Gold at $1,265.60. Silver, $15.98. Silver's dropping, dude.
Thank you very much for spending some time with us today. If you have any more financial concerns, remember Gregory Ricks over here. You can call his office, 504-832-9200. Also, remember the Winning at Life app and winningatlife.com. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. See ya.
Is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.